shore where the mountains meet the sea, in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. My name is Chris Jeppa.
And I'm Katie Norgan. With us today is a super cool photographer, shipper receiver. I don't know if you want to put that like right up at the top, but it's on your Twitter bio.
It's a thing that I do.
Yeah, thing you do. And community food maven, Jen Clark.
Hi.
Hi. Are you all right?
Yeah.
You moved a ghost behind you or something.
I'm just nervous, I guess. I don't record myself very often.
Oh, well, you don't have to listen if you don't want to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I do tend to not listen to my own voice because I listen to it and I'm like, oh, I sound like a cross between Marge Simpson and Tom Waits. So
I don't think that's quite true.
But compared to how you sound in your head, it's really different.
Yes.
It's kind of jarring.
I sound very like, in my head. I sound like a broad is the only word you can use to describe me.
You are holding a fake long cigarette holder right now as you.
You knew it was a long cigarette holder. I was just miming a smoke, but I knew it was like a 1920s like smeared red lipstick. That's the sound of my voice in my head, but out
Medusa
loud.
Medusa from The Rescuers is like
Madame Medusa is me for sure, except for the whole kidnapping children and stealing diamonds and things.
I'd steal some diamonds with you. I think that'd be kind of fun.
Well, you know what? We're always looking for ideas for podcast episodes. So to become cat burglars, we could do diamond heist is a great solid idea.
I
think we could do it.
I've always wanted to, like, going back to our chat about Buffy and, like, having supernatural powers and stuff, I've always wanted to, like, be, like, an acrobatic cat burglar type, but I'm not very coordinated.
That's why I like that episode in Simpsons so much, where the cat burglar turns out to be an old dude, and he's, like, he's still got
like,
it, you
suction
know?
Cupping onto the wall.
Exactly. Yeah.
But, like, you know, Catherine Zeta-Jones in the fucking
laser movie? Laser sex movie? With Mr. Old Man?
But, like, I've always wanted to be, like, good at that kind of stuff, you know, to be, like, sneaky and stealthy. Like, I used to play Capture the Flag a lot with my friends because we grew up in the woods. I was very good at hiding. I'm little.
Yeah.
I would like get into little spaces and just like stay there the whole time or like move stealthily through the woods and like, you know, I feel like I could be like if I actually wanted to hunt, which I do not, you know, at all, but it's like I can pad gently in the forest and like not, you know,
like a little roe deer. Or
yeah,
something.
Like not make a sound at all, basically. I like a little bow and arrow. I just always wanted
to
have
a suction cup on the end of the arrow.
And you know what's funny?
These are the only ones you're legally allowed.
Suction cuff, that's so cute.
A little foley.
But like, I don't know, I always wanted to be like good at that stuff, and then it's like people could say, and I know that my partner would say this, is like, you know that you can do that, you can just like train and like get better and practice, and I'm like, but I don't actually want to.
I just want to be imbued with the power.
Too much work.
Yeah.
I want to be figured out as the chosen one, and then all of my powers just come out like Neo in the Matrix or something. Like
yeah,
I want
totally.
It to be low effort and high yield. Basically.
That's how I live my life.
Low effort, high yield.
Live in the dream.
Yep. Totally. I could not creep through the woods because I feel like I have six extra limbs. Like, I tripped over a laundry hamper today. So, that ain't my life, I don't think.
My morning started out with Ed made breakfast and promptly dropped a bottle of maple syrup into the middle of the plate and it shattered everywhere. And then he, like, scraped the food onto another plate and then wound up, he was like, I'm eating glass right now.
Yeah.
Poor Muffin.
The
he was very...
determination, though, is impressive.
He
to
was
say the
very
least.
Sad about it.
That's tough. Oh, God. Apart from eating glass, how's everybody's week been going? How about you, Jen? Chris and I checked in, like, 2 days ago.
Oh, yeah. I guess...
Illusion, Theater of the Mind. It was last week.
Okay, it was last week.
Oh.
What's this last week been like for you, Jen?
It's, for me, it's been fairly busy. I usually, like, I'm an introverted person, and I like a lot of downtime, where I'm just, like, at home, chilling out in my space and whatnot. But, yeah, I've had a lot to do this week. And it's been really annoying at work with the rain and all of this, but we have some roof leaking problems.
Roof problems.
Yeah. I don't want to get into the details, but yeah, basically I came into work last Monday and there was just the floor is like plywood and it was just like soggy and it smelled like wet sawdust it was horrible. Yeah, so like they just had like a mishap with one of the like structural, I don't know, something went very wrong.
Yeah,
it was a bad scene in there.
You want a roof like
just in general?
Just in general. You want a roof, and you want it to do the roof thing where it keeps the stuff out.
Yeah, but, like, especially in Vancouver, you know?
Like, Rain City, guys. Did you know?
Yeah, but, my work paid me back, and they gave me some free tickets to a hockey game, so that was really fun.
They paid you back for
I don't think it was for that. I think it was, like, unrelated. I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. But, so we went to a preseason game, which was really fun, sitting in the lower bowl for the first time. Like, somebody who has... somebody who has tons of money.
Raging hockey boys.
Yeah, and then I have a friend visiting from Chicago, and so I took him on a little East Van brewery tour, and I drank more beer than I usually do in one day, but it was a good time, and I think he enjoyed himself as well. And then yesterday was the cook-off, and so I spent, like, the good part of the afternoon making my dish for that, and then the evening hanging out with my friends and eating and judging each other's food.
Right on. Tell us a little bit more about the cook-off.
So basically what we do is we get together every month, and, like, the previous month we plan the theme and where it's going to be and, you know, who's hosting and all that.
We is just a group of friends.
Yeah, it's a group of friends. Like, I'll get into the origin story, yeah, so what we do is
Batman origins.
Yeah. So we plan, like, a theme and everybody just comes up with what they want to do. It's sort of like Iron Chef where, a lot of the time we pick, like, an ingredient or a type of food or, like, we've done a few more abstract ones where, like, at Christmas we did red and green. You had to make something red and green. But, yeah, generally we just do, like, oh, let's make a soup or let's make a comfort food or let's make something using squash or whatever. And so, like, so because we've been doing it for so long, like, I think the first one was in 2009.
Wow. And I love tradition.
Yeah, it's really fun. And it just started... with four people who were living in a house together. My friends, I think you know Mallory.
Yes, I do. You know her much better than I do.
We went to Burning Man together.
Yeah, good times.
She's like, meh. Agree to disagree.
The road trip, like, driving down to Burning Man with Mallory was one of, like, the best times of my life.
Mallory
getting to
is
know
a
her
really
playing
fun
music
person.
And stuff like that. But Burning Man itself sucked.
Doubt it.
You, like, ran through three different body parts before you settled on ass. You're like, no, it's better than Burning Man. It has to be ass. Okay, so you had Mallory.
Yeah, so Mallory and her two roommates and another friend of theirs were just all hanging out, and one person was making a lasagna, and somebody else was like, well, I bet I could also make a lasagna. And so then all four of them decided to each make a lasagna and see whose was the best. And so that was sort of the origin of that, and they just chose the best one. And then at the next cook-off, that was the one that I attended for the first time, I just got a text message being like, we're having a chili cook-off, come over. And
nice.
I was like, okay. Don't need an excuse to eat a ton of chili. So we had probably like five or so kinds of chili. And again, we didn't really get into the more specific kind of thing. Everybody just tasted them. We talked about them and then we voted on whose was our favorite. And then the one after that was the pie cook-off.
Nice.
And that was the one where we started getting really into the categories because it was so specific. Mm-hmm. And we were like, okay, who's never made a pie before? We got to judge on whose first pie is the best. like, who has the best, like, mouth feel? Whose was the most creative? And so, we, like, had this vintage typewriter. It was in somebody's, like, weird loft or something.
So East Van.
Yeah, no, totally. It was in this place, like, off of, like, First Avenue or something. I can't remember. And yeah, it was this really warm loft. It was in March and we were just drinking like baby duck and eating all of these pies. It was a bad scene, but it was really fun because it was so much sugar and just horrible liquor, but it was a really fun time. And so yeah, we had this little record of everybody who was there on the typewriter page and like what pies people made. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and then we had little categories and who was the winner in this category and who was the winner in this category and who overall had the best pie. And then, so then we decided to make it a little more intricate after that. And now, like, when people attend for the first time, we're like, oh, come to the cook-off. It's really fun. And we tell them about it. And then I don't think they're ever expecting it to be as intense as it is. Because we've had some people come and they were like, yeah, I really like the cooking and I love trying all of the food, but I don't like the judging. Like, it's so...
Is it harsh?
No, okay. It's not.
Just, like,
but just
intricate.
Yeah.
So much category,
and if, like,
so
and if you're
rules.
Not prepared for that, yeah, there are lots lots of rules, which I can get into as well.
Cool.
Are you guys all kind of like gaming nerds a little bit too, or it's like,
I don't know.
Like
I think
RPG
just
type.
People have like, especially the people who have been doing it for quite a long time, we've all like over time improved as cooks, and everybody's starting to bring their real A game to every cook-off. You know, nobody's like, oh, well, I didn't have time, so I just made this. You know, we've had people show up with like chips and salsa
I've
before.
Just finished so many shitty potlucks, and the idea of
exactly.
like a really intensive one is kind of appealing to me.
Yeah,
if I have to eat this god-awful homemade hummus again.
Well, exactly, like, and so like it really motivates people,
fuckers.
Because like, I mean, of course there's no like prizes if you win, it's just the glory, but you want that.
Well, the glory is important. Part, really.
Well, I love an excuse to like bust out a new recipe and like actually have like good presentation. You know, you show up and it's your best dish at like serving dish or whatever, and like you can take the lid off and it's all artfully arranged. Like, I made that fucking ratatouille where you slice
we've
single
had that at a
cook-off
too.
Thin. Yeah, and you just like display it in like sort of a flower shape, and that I love presentation so much.
Yeah, and presentation is one of the categories, so even if you like totally fuck up your dish and it ends up tasting like crap, you can still get points, because if it looks nice
tastes bad, I'm like,
if it was very creative, like we had I don't want to like trash people's dishes too much, but we have a couple that are like renowned, like even by the people who have made them, for being distinctly like uniquely awful. One was this, we had a coconut cook-off, and our friend, like, it was quite good overall, but there were a couple pretty weird ones, and my friend made like a coconut chipotle dip. And,
sounds pretty bad.
Yeah, like, and I don't really know. It was like coconut cream and like chipotle and like vinegar.
So it was
and
like
it was
sweet vinegar cream.
Yeah, it
curd.
Was super disgusting. Mm. And she had these like chips.
Like a cement mixer.
Yeah, no, it was absolutely nasty. There was like one person there who really enjoyed it, but like everyone else, like, unanimously was like, this is horrible. And I'm so sorry. I can't eat this. And, but she still got points because she like busted open the coconut and like served the dip in the coconut hull, and it looked really cool.
Okay.
But
it wasn't good.
No. And we've also had the opposite, where people make a dish where everyone's like, oh, that was really good, and they like loved eating it, but it doesn't like, it's not exemplary in any category, and so they end up like not getting a lot of points or getting no points. So
it's just the workhorse of the cook-off, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's worst things you could be, but
yeah.
I'd rather have the glory or the shame.
Yes.
You know, like, if you want to come out with a big feeling.
You want to be notorious in one way or the other.
Absolutely. I guess that's just like the reality show mentality that creeps in from the fringes. Even though I don't really watch cooking competitions, like, I see enough clips of them on Tumblr in GIF form, generally speaking.
Great British Bake Off gifts.
My wontons! Cutthroat Kitchen or something, I don't know. One where they stab each other. I don't know how it works in the American cooking shows. So just like the British ones.
The British ones, they cuddle each other, and the American ones, they just literally stab each other with knives.
In the necks.
It's always crying. And
so much crying.
There's crying on all of them, I think.
That's true.
There Whenever is crying there's... in bake-offs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I've definitely cried while cooking before.
It's the best time to cry. I'm just sweating.
Chopping onions. It's just the onions, I swear.
I'm just sweating my alliums.
It's a good emotional release.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, I definitely have cried while chopping onions, because I'm just like, well, I've already started, so it might
just
as well.
Just go with it.
Yeah,
I love it. I love cooking so much. And we did a chili cook-off with a group of friends, too, and had, like, I think, and I can't remember if this happened or if maybe I saw this from your guys's, do you have wooden spoons that, like, have things, like, branded into them, or was that ours?
I think that must have been you. That doesn't sound
funny.
Very familiar.
This is, like, 2005 or something like that, and with Bob and, like,
oh,
was, like,
I remember
a huge
this.
Chili cook-off. And then, I think there was, like, wooden spoons, like your chili spoon, and then
I participated in that.
Yeah.
I helped him with his.
Yeah, and then they, like, burned in, like, first prize, second prize, whatever, and so then you got your spoon. I think that was
us. I made a Malay chili for that. That was really good.
Yeah, and I remember, like, Bob made, like, a crazy, like, slow cooker, and, like, made his own tortillas to go with it, and so it was, like,
there was a piñata.
Yeah, it's, like, is this fair, like, if you're just judging the chili, but, like, he made his own tortillas, too, so that, like, elevates it, you know?
Yeah,
and
there's
that,
definitely,
like,
we've had some questionable times where, you know, after a while, like, we had our basic categories where we started, I think we had four categories, so we would have, like, presentation, creativity, your overall favorite, and why am I blanking on this? I just looked at the stupid thing last night. Yeah, like the seconds, that was a big one. That was the one that started with the chili cook-off, the which one, because we were all so full. But, like, if you could eat more, and if you, like, had the room in your body, which one would you want more of right now?
That's a great category, actually.
Yeah, because it doesn't necessarily always line up with the one that you liked the best.
And you can't come in with a preconceived notion of that. Like, yeah. That's a pure, mm-hmm. like... ghrelin or whatever, like the enzyme in your body that tells you to keep eating.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you have to wait for that to really tell you what totally. You want. Ah. You can't tell until you've had it.
Gut instinct, would you say?
You might say something like that, you asshole.
I would.
Yeah, so we started with, like, a few categories, and then, like, because we're making variations on the theme every month, we decided, like, at every one we have a category specific to the theme, so it's generally like the best use of that theme.
Okay.
And
who,
then
who met the brief the best?
Yeah. Like, who really took it to the really epitome of that theme?
Yeah, you elevated that ingredient to its like highest degree.
Yeah. And recently we added a perceived effort category.
Perceived effort.
Because you don't always know how much work a person put in.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, it's really clear that they put a lot of work in, and it might not have turned out in the way that they wanted, but, like, you want to commend that.
Yeah, and okay. So, you reached for the stars, or you reached for, shot for the moon, but you're among the stars, kind of thing.
Well, and it's not necessarily, like, if your dish turned out bad, but you worked really hard, you know, it's not, like, a fucking E for effort category, but, like, it's, like,
the Icarus category.
You know, if somebody, like, I don't know, made their own bread bowls or something for soup.
Oh,
or,
okay.
You know, like,
so,
if
like
you just, yeah, so if you took, like, spent a lot of time on your dish or whatever, but then, like, after we introduced that category, like, we'd be going around doing the voting, and someone was like, oh, well, you know, I used homemade jam. And you're like, does that count? Like, did you make that specifically for this?
No, if you already
made
it,
exactly. And so people would be really trying to, like,
game the system.
Why people got uncomfortable, I guess, is because, like, people took it kind of seriously, or?
Yeah, like, we do take it very seriously. And to me, and to most of the other people who've been doing it for a while, that's what's fun about it, is because it's so serious. And, like, it really, the competition aspect of it really, like, makes you want to work hard on it and to try something new and to try and make something that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Or at least really good.
Yeah,
so.
Totally.
And just to, like, it's the fun of impressing your friends
a
little bit. Yeah,
because like you said, I mean, when you just go to a potluck, you're like, oh, fuck, I gotta make a dish for this potluck. And you're like, bean salad, it's fine.
Yeah. And look what I brought.
Yeah, yeah.
Look what I'm also taking home in its entirety later.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, it's really cool because you get to eat all of these interesting and... hopefully really delicious foods, and then you really dissect that and you learn about what people did and, like, how they made it and, like, you know, maybe some new ingredients.
Totally.
So yeah, I don't know. It is like a potluck, but it's also more.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's a cook-off, right?
Yeah.
That's in the title.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas, potluck, I just go, ugh, but with the cook-off, it's
it's basically like, I want to have a party, but I don't want to make the food for it. Everybody who comes should have to bring food, right?
Yeah, and it's always like, oh, sorry, I was busy, so chips. So it's a lot of chips. A whole lot of chips are like, and I would, like, sometimes just bring pre-made veggies or something, because I just couldn't be arsed or whatever.
Yeah, we had that at a barbecue where everyone was supposed to bring something to grill or, like, a side dish. And I was like, okay.
It's all side dishes.
It was literally 8 bags of chips. There were, I think, 2 people who brought things to grill and 1 person who brought a side dish. And I, like, luckily had planned for that to happen. So we made tons of food and it was fine. But I was like,
guys,
my friends are jerks.
Unless there's, like, an element of glory in it. It seems like there's not any point.
So people were like, oh, I ran out of time. Or, oh, I suck at cooking, so I didn't make anything. And I'm like, okay, well, at least everybody loves chips.
For your birthday that you had last year with the croquembouche and everything, because I keep coming back to that, because that's, like, ultimate presentation, was when Noelle walked in with that looking like a fertility goddess. Because she was, like, what, 5 months pregnant at the time?
Yeah.
And she had this huge, like, pile
massive tower
of
cream puffs
with,
all,
like,
glued together.
Golden caramel just, like,
swirled around.
Totally holding the thing together. It was such a thing of beauty. Was that did you have people bring food to that?
No.
Well?
So, like, what I like to do for my birthday is feed people. And so,
Me too.
And I usually, I never do, like, fiddly finger foods or whatever, even though I fucking love them, but they are very time consuming. So it's like, and I never bake because I just don't ever have the supplies. I don't really have flour kicking around, but it's like, I'll do a big run, just make, like, a ton of finger food and a lot of Christmas baking because my birthday's around Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's on Christmas. Yeah, it's
around Christmas.
Yeah, it's
get,
like,
that sympathy vote, girl.
Literally on Christmas Day. So my party is around Christmas.
Yeah.
There you go. But yeah, so then I just, like, made a whole bunch of food and fed everybody. And then usually I try to make, like, a big pot of soup as well. Mm. So it's, like, we'll eat all the baking, but then also have, like,
yeah,
a satisfying
food.
meal as well. Mm-hmm.
There was real food there. There was, like, you had, like, smoked salmon and capers and...
That was a fucking winner.
Onions and, like, rye toasts and everything. And that was just so... And Hillary, who is vegan, just kept... She would do anything but the
salmon.
And so it was still just, like, this elaborate, like, almost like a Dagwood sandwich canapé kind of thing.
Yeah, because
like,
I had vegan cream cheese and then lots of raw onions and radish and stuff. And it was, like, super tasty.
Oh,
and
God.
Capers.
Mm-hmm. I ate very well. I was not at that party long because I had, like, two other things I had to do that day, which... So sorry.
It's
I should have prioritized you completely.
No, it's fine.
I don't think I liked the other things I was doing.
I always do my parties open house style, where it's just, like...
People like, came in by. And I mod up all this food, and then I was like, bye.
Yeah, that's fine.
Just, yep, that's how we do sometimes. And I met a bunch of people, and it was so slapdash that I forgot that I met, like, Lauren Martin and her mom that day, and that she got all astrology at me.
Yes.
Which was great, honestly.
Yeah.
She knew I was a Pisces right off the top.
I have my one friend Noelle, the aforementioned fertility goddess of cream puffs, which I think we'll just refer to her
as
that's
a good nickname.
I don't know if she would like that or hate it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, cream puff goddess, then.
Sure.
How about instead of fertility goddess? But she's always like, oh, come to my house and we'll have a potluck. And so then people will bring food and she's like, oh, I actually made like a bajillion.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm.
Because you start to expect people to not bring things and then you can't decide what to make. So you're like, oh, well, I'll just make this.
She always
make
makes
this
like
as well.
Two huge salads and like all the stuff, like marinated things to grill and whatever. And it's like, we all brought our own stuff too. Mm-hmm. So what do we do? And then we just eat our faces off and it's a delight.
I think it's the best.
Everybody should just bring a shitload of like Tupperware to take like an assortment home. I think is a good idea.
That's the thing that happens a lot at cook-offs too. Like if we do have leftovers, everyone just goes in the kitchen and like, if you're still hungry, you can just make a plate and you mix all the things together and it's really fun. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people end up, like, taking home a Tupperware full of, like, a little bit of everybody's dishes.
Right on.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm curious, like, what's, do you have, like, a favorite one that you've done?
Oh, man. We have had a lot of really good ones. I think one that I really liked was a couple of years ago we did a fusion cook-off.
Okay.
Oh. And it was the second iteration of that one. Like, we'd done one years prior, and then we thought it was so fun we wanted to do that again. And it was, I think, in June, and it was at our friend's place in Capitol Hill, and they just have, like, this nice patio space, and you can, like, look out over Burnaby. And
I was
we had
like, you guys go to Seattle for your cook-off?
Oh. I thought that for a second.
The other Capitol
that,
Hill.
That it was, just,
yeah,
like,
the little one.
Further east than...
Oh, cool.
Yeah. yeah, and basically the theme was to take two different, like, styles of cooking from different parts of the world and just, like,
smash them together.
I'm trying to remember some of the dishes. Somebody made, like, a Vietnamese salad roll, but, like, with BLT ingredients. So they had, like, coconut bacon and, like, vegan mayo and tomatoes. So that was really cool.
So is it a vegan cook-off?
Yes. So everything is vegan, and because when we started, like, at least three of the members were fully vegan. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, some people are not vegan anymore, but we still... do it that way
then because everyone gets to try everything, right?
Yeah,
it's like the most inclusive of foods.
and it makes it a little more challenging for people who are used to cooking only vegetarian or cooking with meat, and it's really cool to branch out and just sort of develop your skills in different ways.
Totally.
And one of the really cool things about it is that, like, a lot of people, when they don't cook vegan food or they don't eat vegan food, they're like, oh, well, I don't like that because, you know, I don't like soy or whatever. And you're like, you can do so much stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, when you learn to just rely on what you already have instead of being like, okay, well, I need to buy this, like, fake meat thing or, you know, I need to eat tons and tons of beans... then, like, it's not very interesting, but...
do that.
Yeah, but you can do so much. And, like, there's a lot of flavor combinations that are just really fun to try, and...
I'm super into it.
I love vegan cooking.
Me too, and I have that, like, Veganomicon.
I love the Veganomicon.
It's a total Bible. Like, it's such a... almost all of my cookbooks are vegan cookbooks, actually.
Yeah, like, I would say that I cook vegan probably, like, 85 to 90% of the time. Mm-hmm. You know, I could never really give up cheese, but I love cooking vegan food, and it's definitely the easiest way for me to cook most of the time. And I feel better about it because then you're like not just throwing in meat for the sake of like, oh, okay, well, we need protein, whatever.
Totally.
Yeah. And it makes you think more about your food.
Yeah. Whenever I do any potluck thing, or I know that, like, people are coming over, I try to do vegan as much as possible, because it's like... Everyone can have it. So it's like, if you eat meat, you can still eat the vegan food, and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe you'll be delighted, you know? Yeah. Or, like, bring something of your own.
You're vegan some beef carpaccio.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I just want to be able to feed the most people at once, right?
Right.
So it's like, how do you make it the most inclusive?
Totally.
And that's, like, what we do with Thanksgiving. Like, you know, we always make a turkey, but then, aside from the turkey and the stuffing and the gravy that was actually, or the turkey stuffing that was inside the bird, everything else is vegan.
Yeah.
And so then we just let the vegans serve themselves first, so we make sure that everybody who has dietary restrictions can get something to eat, and then, you know, everyone who eats meat can try what they like.
Yeah.
So.
Get at that bird.
I like it.
Totally.
Yeah, I saw something on, like, Mallory's Facebook was like, yeah, I've got 3 Thanksgivings this year. That's the perfect amount.
Holy smokes. Yeah, I just have one, which I'm excited about. It's a potluck, which normally I'm like, ugh, but it's family potluck. And I'm like, Mom, you're making your sausage stuffing. Or not your sausage, sorry, your chestnut stuffing. She's like, or apparently I'm making chestnut stuffing, so I'll be there with that. So, I mean, I'm like, I called mashed potatoes because they love making mashed potatoes.
Great.
So it's just like everybody gets to choose the thing that they're best at, right? So, or I choose for them because I determine who's best at what.
Because ours has gotten so big over the past, like, I think we have 19 or 20 people coming this year.
That's huge.
And last year was even bigger. It was 23, and I was like, I really want to keep it 20 and under this year because, like, it's just hard to fit that many people in my house. It's not that big of a place. And because Tamara lives in the basement, it's good that we can also use her stovetop and oven.
Right on.
So it does make it easier that way, but oven space is really at a premium because we have to put the turkey in one oven and then the, you know, lentil loaf in the other oven and, like, roasting yams and all this.
Yeah.
And so I've sort of farmed out a couple of things to people because you always run out of side dishes. And so I, like, was texting my mom being like, oh, do you want to make something? And, you know, my friend, and I was like, oh,
so
everyone
your mom
likes
comes
that.
To your house?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It is. It really is. Like, she does Christmas, and because we like doing Thanksgiving so much, she's like, I've never even tried in, like, the past 4 years to organize my own Thanksgiving.
Totally.
I'm like, I'll just go to yours.
Just cede to your
whims.
That was one
of sound like good whims, honestly.
Yeah. That was one of the things that made me feel like such a, like, adult when I was 23 and I had a big Thanksgiving thing at the Larch House.
Oh yeah.
Which was, like, a super fun house. We used to do a lot of cooking stuff together
seventh
as
and
well.
Larch or something?
Something
or?
Like that. Yeah. Fourth, I think.
Okay. Back when it was affordable to live in Kitsilano.
Yeah. It was a really,
with, like,
really
five
nice
of your closest
oh,
friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was like a townhouse and it was really awesome and we had good, like, well, some good neighbors, some bad neighbors, whatever. But, like, we had a big Thanksgiving thing, and my mom came. And I was like, oh, my God, this is so cool. Like, it's actually,
the
like...
The student has become the master.
Yeah. Like, I get to host my family at this thing and all of our friends. And it was really awesome. And, like, yeah, Noelle's mom came. Like, all the parents came, and we basically cooked for them. It felt really good.
It does. It's awesome to have your family eat your food and be like, oh, wow, this is amazing. Like, I finally, like, I've reached the point now, like, I used to not... enjoy cooking because I didn't know what I was doing. And then once you really push yourself to just, like, figure it out and, like, you get better at it. And that's something that has really happened with the cook-offs. Like, a lot of us started off, like, not knowing what we were doing. And a lot of us, like, thought we were okay cooks, but, like, we didn't really have a big repertoire. And, like, it's really helped so many of us get to that point where we're, like, really confident in our skills and just really love being in the kitchen. And I finally reached the point where my mom is like, you're a better cook than me now.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it's amazing because, like, I feel like there's two types of people. Like, there's the people who are like, oh, my parents' cooking is absolute garbage. You know, it's just, like, steamed vegetables that are, like, soggy and, like, crummy meat. But, and then people who love their mom's cooking and, like, when they go home and they get to eat their parents' food and they're like, oh, yeah, this is the best. And my mom was always quite adventurous, like, with cooking because she was a vegetarian, like, back in the 90s when there were way less options. and, you know, tofu dogs tasted like newspaper. And so we ate some pretty interesting things growing up, but we always really liked the stuff that she made, and so to get that kind of compliment, to be like, oh yeah, you know, I can't do it as well as Jennifer does now, so
you get the full name.
I do. It's only Jennifer's. My family. I forget that's my name until I hear my family
every time
me
I
that
hear Catherine. I was like, oh Jesus,
yeah.
I get a ticket or what?
Yeah.
Like, it's always the portent of trouble.
Yeah, indeed.
Taxes, boo. Wait, yes, yay taxes. I love paying taxes.
Yeah,
actually.
Very important.
They're super important. Unless you're a very, very rich man who can afford to get people to skip taxes for you. But we won't talk about that. It just came out because it's everything I hear every moment of every day. If I open the internet, it's just like barfing on me.
It's way too much
information
I don't want
to totally
know about.
My mother, I think, is still a better cook than me. It's close. I, you know, this summer was really weird because, A, it was hot, so I didn't feel like cooking because it's just like, ugh. Like, I'll just have a salad or something. Mm-hmm. But I eat, like, shit all throughout the summer. For some reason. Normally, it's the best season for me because it's, like, everything's in season. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's fresh. It's delicious. But I was, like, depressed the whole summer, and I still kind of am, but I realized, like, I was like, okay, I'm depressed, so I'm giving myself the option to, like, just not cook if I don't feel up to it. So I didn't, and then I ate a lot of shitty food, I also didn't do the thing that I really like doing when I make time to do it. I felt, I was like, oh, I gotta take the pressure off so I don't do it so much, so I'm not constantly forcing myself to do it. But then in that, I just stopped doing it entirely.
You miss out on
much.
The joy of actually, like, slow cooking something. Yeah. It's really fun and really soothing.
It super is, and that's, like, the second that the temperature kind of went down, I was like, all right, this is my time. Because I'm very, apart from, like, having horrible SAD, I love the fall. Like, it's the perfect, it's such a basic white girl thing. But, like, the fucking fall is so good.
It is, though.
I look like a leaf that's changing. Right now, like, three people have told me that in the last day. Basically,
well, then you got your, like,
strangers.
Mustard skirt on, too.
Oh, yeah, this borrowed yellow skirt and orange. That I borrowed from you.
You can borrow it anytime. It looks very cute on you.
Oh, so cute, my little skirt set. And so I made, like, a proper chicken stew the other night, and, oh, man, with barley, like, barley's so fucking good, and it was just, like, I got fresh thyme, and... Mm-hmm. Bay leaves and stuff. It was just really, like, just letting it all kind of come together, just, like, the blorbling noise of it on the
stove. Yeah, it's very soothing to make, like, one pot meals, you know, like, soups and chilies. It just has that homey feeling. Yeah, I love
making
soup.
You're very, very good at soups.
I'm a real soup lady.
The next cook-up is soup, if you guys feel like attending that.
Oh, that is
I do make a really good vegan mushroom soup, because I'm like, I want to have mushroom soup, but I don't want to have cream, because it's, like, super heavy.
I love cream of mushroom soup, and that is my favorite.
I could do, like, a roasted cauliflower.
Yeah, there's so many options, and I feel like it's a good one for first-timers who are, like, intimidated by the whole cook-off process, because everybody has, like, at least one soup that they
really
love
cool,
making.
Actually.
Ooh, I can make my Dukobor borscht. I have so many fun soups.
I'm sorry, what?
My Dukobor borscht?
No, wait. It sounds like a villain from Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Okay, the Dukobors were kind of...
A Cardassian.
It's kind of like Russian-y Amish.
Okay.
And like very, very like in like Kaslow, Nelson, like Eastern BC, like a lot of settlements of Dukobors. And they have like.
Oh, it's a real like type of person.
Yeah.
How do you spell this?
Like Dukobor. I don't know. It's, we can look it up. But I don't know too much about their history, but my uncle loves them. And he's very like fact man. And he tells us a lot of history about the Dukobors. But he taught me how to make this. Dukobor borscht, and the secret, which I've now employed in, like, other soups, is, like, you have chunks of potatoes in there, but then you also make mashed potatoes on the side, and then you add the mashed potatoes to the hot liquid, and it makes it really rich and creamy.
Yeah, that's nice.
There's a lot of fried cabbage in it, and you don't even use a beet, you just, like...
Good.
Yeah, it's, like, not a beet borscht.
Are you a beet hater?
I'm not a beet hater,
but you're not, like, a beet lover?
No.
Okay.
No, it's like, I'm the same way with so many different things, like cilantro. I love the flavor of cilantro, but sometimes
it's just everywhere. Yeah.
And I'm just like, relax, Vietnam. Like, there's too much in my food right now, but that's like that's my white lady expression of it.
You can finish the kombucha if you like.
Thank you.
And beets, like, I like a beet. I like a roasted beet or whatever, but I just, they're very sweet and they kind of take over. And I'm the same way with, like, kernels of corn in things that are not just, like, corn.
Yeah,
I'd like to eat an ear of corn or, like, have a creamed corn even or something like that. But when you put corn in other things that isn't, like, cornbread, I'm just kind of like, it's weird. I want this to be savory and it's all, like, bursts of sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel the same way about beets.
Okay. Fair enough. I like making, like, proper... There's so many different kinds of borscht that I make.
Yeah. I like golden beets very much.
I love
those
golden
beets. Those are wonderful. Yeah. They don't have the same kind of, like...
They don't have that earthy...
Flavor. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's something different about
it. Sugariness.
The borscht that I grew up with that we would always have for, like, Polish Christmas, Vigilia, which is Christmas Eve, is just, like, clear. It's like a consomme, like a clear broth, but beet broth. So it's, like, just red. Looks like red wine, basically. And then you'd have a little bit of... maybe sour cream if you wanted to, and some dill and stuff, but then I also make a borscht that's just, like, let's not throw away all the chunks of all the fiber, and, like, you know, like, you make the beet soup, and then you, like, put the Swish immersion blender in there and just make it kind of chunky. Yeah. That's, like, my favorite.
I made a really good, because I get a, like, a produce delivery bin every couple weeks,
fun.
And so...
Spud, or?
Yeah, it's Spud, and then, like, I have it set to... have them send me mostly local stuff, like, sweet. First off, local stuff. And so in the winter, you get a lot of beets and potatoes and leeks. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, well, what else can I make with beets? And I'm, like, looking up all of these, like, weird beet recipes. Because, like, the two main things that you do with beets, like, we make borscht and, like, a beet salad with, like, mm-hmm. feta and pistachios and mm-hmm. mint. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, but you get kind of sick of eating the same things. And so I looked up this, like, article of 10 different beet recipes or whatever. And I found this.
You can't beat this. Yeah, it was probably called.
Yeah, it was so ridiculous. It was on, like, Bon Appetit or whatever, but I can't remember. But I tried this one soup that was a roasted beet soup with buttermilk and caraway, and it was a blended soup. And
sounds
yeah.
very Russian.
Yeah, it was really good.
Mm. I had, Russian food is something that I've just never, like, Eastern European food is something that I've only experienced by going to, like, Ukrainian Christmas, or I guess Polish Christmas and Ukrainian Christmas. Are they both on the same day?
No, Polish, they do Christmas Eve, and then they also do, like, an Epiphany.
Who does January 7th? Is that Ukrainian?
That's the Ukrainians, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And Orthodox.
The yeah. food is pretty similar mm-hmm. in some ways, but the I know the Ukrainian one has, like, wheat berries and, like, honey and stuff, and that one's a really, like, nice little dish. But the, but for, I don't really have any, because I don't have any Eastern European in my family history, as far as I know, at least not close enough to have had the cuisine. Mm-hmm. But when I was in Seattle, I popped into a place that said it was, like, a dumpling house, and the thing was is they were using that kind of racist Chinese font.
Oh, no.
So I was, like, but pop art style.
Okay.
So I was kind of like, this is weird. Okay, I'm going in here, but it was, like, called, like, Comrade something, so it was, like... It was actually, like, a Russian food, and so they were making Russian dumplings, but the people working there were, like, Malaysian and like, Southeast Asian, and so it's this, I guess it was fusion.
Yeah,
or
I guess a fusion.
But what I got was, it felt very Russian, so it was, like, these little potato dumplings with, oh my god, they were so good, with, like caramelized onions, I'm totally salivating, with caramelized onions inside, but there were, like, these little tiny things, and they were in this bowl, and then they would ladle, like a rice vinegar broth, or, like a cider vinegar broth over top of it, and then a glob of cream or sour cream, and then some dill on top. And it was just
I love
it was
that such, like sourness.
Yes, yeah. I'm such a vinegar.
Just gotta
freak,
add a couple tablespoons of vinegar to your borscht. It's
just
so
to
good.
Everything that I eat for all the time, and I'm just like, oh, it was divine. It was too hot for the. It was so hot on the day. I don't even care, just pouring sweat into the bowl. It was so delicious, and I had, like, a big old glass of vino verde for some reason with it.
Cause, great.
Why not?
Because why the hell not? It was, like, probably one of the best meals I had on my trip down south.
Nice.
So
I got to go to Poland for the first time. So it's like, yeah, I had Polish cooking from my dad, like, a lot growing up, but then to finally go to Poland and do a little bit of, like, you know, exploring your roots. I learned
your
about
root vegetables.
Yeah, exploring your root cellar, but like having like actually experiencing and like learning about other kinds of food. So I learned about żurek, which is sourdough soup. It's incredibly good.
Oh my god, I love sourdough.
And it's one of those things where it's like the sourdough starter, you know, that gets passed down from babcha to babcha to babcha to babcha. Like, and then you have
how many different kerchiefs has it seen?
Yeah, and like it is like usually pretty meat heavy, like sausages and like a hard boiled egg even in the soup.
Oh, wow.
But just you could do it vegetarian as well, and like you can buy the little packs of like sourdough starter, like żurek soup, like at the Polish deli.
Really?
Yeah. And so when I got back from Poland, after eating like tons of like tartare and pierogies and like all kinds of amazing food and drinking like the best vodka I've ever had in my life, I felt so healthy and vibrant. Mm-hmm. I was like, all I've eaten is salt and all I've drank is vodka. But like, I've never felt more like healthy and powerful. So I'm like, is there like some kind of weird genetic memory?
That's so fascinating. I wonder.
I have no idea, but I felt good. I'm like, this is my food. So I went back to Scotland because when I was living in Scotland, I jumped over to Poland for a week. And cooked a big feast for all of my roommates. So I should make you some food. It was like
I would love that.
Bulgur wheat and like harvested mushrooms and onions as like a side dish.
Sounds
and like
great.
Yeah, blueberry pierogies
and some
for
vodka.
Dessert.
Oh yeah.
And I brought back like really, really good vodka.
Yeah, hit me up in 3 weeks.
Zubrovka.
Yesterday was the first it's been a week since I've had an alcoholic drink. Not that I'm an alcoholic, but that I really like it.
You just wanted to take a break.
And I'm I'm somebody who would easily like if I was having a hard time I might have like regular. If everything is totally copacetic, I might have 4 to 6 a week, which is pretty much what doctors say.
Yeah,
it's
like
that's
normal.
Totally healthy. Mm-hmm. That's super healthy. But lately, it was like closer to 2 a day or 3 a day even. And I was
like,
this
is a little
I bought like a big 4-liter box of Chabertin wine, and it was gone inside of a week.
Oh,
I was
no.
like, this is like... I wasn't the only one drinking it, but I was also kind of the only one drinking it. So it was just like, oh, I'm self-medicating and that's not good. So let's just see how I feel. And so after a week, like I feel, I've been, like I said, sleeping like a baby. So clearly like drinking at night is not a great plan for me.
I try not to drink after 9:30 because it just makes you feel like shit.
It kind of does. You know? Yeah. And I wake
up. I mean, maybe it's just getting old, but like alcohol.
But I if I have like more than 3 drinks in a night, I'd wake up in like at 3 o'clock in the morning and just like have a bit of a headache.
And,
and then
you're all pasty.
And I think about it. I'm like, I shouldn't have done that. And then the guilt wakes me up for a longer period of time. So it's like my body is definitely sending those messages. So yesterday was the first day I was like, I want to have a drink. So after a week, it was just like, it's Saturday night. I don't have anything to do. I'm at home. I would love to just have, like, I would love to, like, pop down to El Santo and have a Paloma, which you introduced me to, whether or not you know it.
Such a good drink.
Oh, it's so good. So I was just like, I could do that or I could do that. And then I just, like, kind of went out and got some ginger beer.
Yeah, don't break the chain.
No, it's great. It's like, good, keeping it going, it feels
something that is really, like, I mean, again, I'm not, like, a person who medicates with alcohol, and I'm not, like, you know, oh, I can't live without booze or whatever, but, like, something that has really curbed just, like, the, oh, I'll just have a beer kind of tendency in me was learning to drive. Because now that I have my Anne, if I want to drive, I'm not supposed to have any alcohol at all. And so, like, a lot of the times I'll be like, oh, well, it's more important for me to be able to, like, drive to this place and come home than it is for me to have one or two drinks. So, you know, I'll be like, oh, well, I want a beer, but I'll just have this San Pellegrino and like, it's fine.
Thank God. I like having the external like regulation in place a little bit. Cause it's like when I'm left to my own devices, it's like, well, I don't like you were saying like,
sorry, you are the one who started this in me. So it's all your fault.
Hamilton.
Oh no. I've resisted so far.
Try it as long as you can, because once it happens hard. It's like puberty. You fight it. Are you there, God?
But like you were saying, you know, oh, I'm at home. I don't have anything to do. Like, there's nothing stopping me. So it's like, why don't, like, I'm not going out. I'm not. So it's like, I really do need a little external regulation. Otherwise, it's just like, ah, why not just get a couple of glasses of wine or whatever.
That's my worst thing. Because if it's not, it's the same thing with anything that I like in excess, like good food or junk food.
There's
even.
No reason why I shouldn't
if it's, if it's there, and if I have, like, a taste for it or a desire for it, I won't stop until it's gone. So it needs to, like, kind of not be there, or I need to, like, have something that says I'm not having that at all right now. I'm not the kind of person who's good at that kind of moderation, where they're, like, at the end of the day, I'm like, I just had 2 squares of chocolate, and that's my treat. I'm like, fuck you.
And a handful of almonds.
And a handful of almonds, just activated almonds. Just put them up your butt.
Activate those for you.
That's how you activate them, is you put them in your butt. I'm a food scientist. But the drink thing, like, and it really kind of comes back to the cooking thing, is that the, what I miss is kind of the ritual of the, because the drink is the, you know, you have that one sip and it's just kind of, it just sort of kind of goes down warm and you're like, ooh, that's the stuff mama like, you know, so, like, you've never said that to yourself quietly.
I've never, ever said that.
You might do it now.
Maybe.
I put that bug in your ear. And so I was like, oh, God, I can't just, like, have a Coke Zero or, like, a glass of plain water. It's so sad.
Plain water.
Plain water, that's for tubes. So I've been, like, trying to come up with mocktails or something, because when I put, like, two things together in a glass, it, like, it satisfies that need to, like, to like create an alchemy or something like that. To like, I'm a mixologist, so I've been like getting, you know, like lemon San Pellegrino and like a really hardcore gingery ginger beer and just mixing them together and like having that with like a little lime wedge or something.
A friend of mine, the one of the hosts of the cook-off last night, she just had a baby. And she loves beer, and so, like, during her pregnancy, she became, like, a connoisseur of non-alcoholic beer, and now she's like, yeah, I just drink it because I like it.
Wow.
You know? And so, like, she has this, case of, like, President's Choice non-alcoholic, like, red ale in her fridge right now, and I tried it. It's actually, like, not bad. It satisfies that need to have a beer.
Yeah.
When you just really feel like having a beer.
Yeah, I'm a fan of, my mom used to make shandies all the time.
Oh, yeah.
With O'Doul's and lemonade or whatever.
Well, that's nice. And
it's damn delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, you kind of gotta replace it with something special, otherwise you really do feel like you're missing out.
Yeah, totally.
Sorry.
Oh, no, I don't remember what I was going to say. It's fine.
Chelsea Peretti, I heard on her podcast, she doesn't drink alcohol at all.
Oh, really?
One of her...
A lot of comics don't drink.
Yeah. Mm. I think you're just around alcohol all the time, and you're just like, I could...
If you have regulation problems, you gotta be
drink, I would drink all the time every day, because that's where my job is, you know? So I think a lot of people are just like, cut me off, please. But she does, it's like either sparkling water or maybe ginger ale, but a little bit of elderflower syrup.
Oh, nice.
And a little bit of apple cider vinegar. So then it has that like fermenty kind of taste.
That's why
to
I like
it.
Kombucha so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't think I would, but then it like has that kind of like,
yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't say that to me when I drink it. Sometimes it does.
It literally says
so,
that.
Yeah. The ones that I like the best do.
But, like, that seems like a tasty, and so I've got apple cider vinegar. Mm-hmm. I like to add that just to fizzy water.
I'm gonna look for that elderflower syrup. I think I saw some at, like, what do you call it? The fancy grocery.
Yeah.
Donald's?
Whole Foods?
Donald's? See, Donald's is the fancy one to me, because that's the fanciest one I have.
Donald's is the regular one for me.
Yeah.
Well, I have to go to the Quay, in New Westminster to get there, so I, like, cross a pedestrian footbridge, which feels very...
Feels like an epic journey.
Like, I'm going to put the ring in Mount Doom or something. Sorry, that was for you.
Yeah.
I know you're a big Lord of the Rings nerd, so.
I am.
I don't know anything other than that part about it. It's like, yep, they go to a mountain for the thing, and they put it in, but it bites his finger, and that's what I know. Like, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that sums it
up.
Some
details missing, but.
Some other things happen, but that's the gist.
Oh, man.
So it is. How are we doing?
We've got 45 minutes already.
You want to take a break?
Take a little
break.
Okay, we'll be back. And we're back. After eating some cookies.
Some delicious hobnobs.
I still have some, but I'll save it.
Oh, it's okay.
Try not to crunch into the microphone.
I can also turn this off so you can finish your cookie.
No, I'm good.
You were just
good.
Telling us about the most recent cook-off where the theme was pickles and preserves.
Yeah, so...
And you had to... Yeah.
That basically. Was like a planning one because we had a little bit of time between our last cook-off in the summer, which was barbecue on July 1st.
Nice.
And so then, in the summertime...
Oh, you always do it on the 1st? Or
no, we
or
don't always. It
weekend?
Just ended up that way.
Canada Day barbecue.
Yeah, it was supposed to be in June, but we had to reschedule because of the weather. and so, we ended up having a beautiful barbecue cook-off at my house on Canada Day. But, so then after that, we decided to do pickles and preserves. So you take something from the summer and you preserve it in some way, and then you use it in your entry. And so we were looking through some pictures on my phone of the entries. So we had sort of a stir fry here that Mallory made with pickled mushrooms and tempeh and seared corn. Sorry, Katie, I know you're
I'm a
corn fan.
It's not like a trigger or something.
I just found it funny because we were talking about it.
I would eat the
It was really
thing.
Good. It was really good. Mm-hmm. And bok choy. Mm-hmm. And so just the brininess of the mushrooms and the salty
It's very
soy
attractive.
Sauce.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that is stunning. That must have won for best presentation.
I can't remember, actually. You'll
it
see a couple other ones.
With a signature cocktail
yes,
of some kind, which
it's
is always a good...
That's a good sign.
In every reality show type competition where it's like, oh, and then my dish also has a signature cocktail to go with it. It's like, ooh.
And then Mary Berry pops out like, all right, give it over here.
Yeah.
So this is Chris's, and he used three different kinds of preserved apples. So he has like a savory apple butter here.
Okay.
And then like an apple... slaw, and then this is an apple cider that he made.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a very interesting dish.
I'm
and
so
like,
delighted by
yeah,
that.
It was a really surprising flavor combination that really worked.
The cocktail has a flower floating in it.
Yes, it's a nasturtium, which are totally edible. This was a really good one. This was actually the winner. So this is a pickled potato that has been seared on a grill, and then underneath, you can't really see in the picture, but there's like a tahini sauce. And then this, I think, is a balsamic syrup and just chives.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah, there's little flowers floating around and just, you
good
know, like...
plating.
My God, this is serious business.
It
I
really is. I no.
Level.
Yeah, I really am into, like...
It's like borderline TV, really.
Like, plate dressing, where it's, like, there's classes that
where
you can take.
Where you use tweezers to put things down.
I know, yeah, watching a lot of Chef's Table, where it's like, oh,
we were
man.
Talking about that last night.
You just, like, pinned to their chef's shirt.
Tweezers, or, like, I've seen, like, where they do, like... I've got a paintbrush, and I put the paintbrush in the sauce, and I paint a stripe on the plate. It's like, that's cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of, at the cook-offs, you see a lot of people using the back of a spoon to make, like, a smear of sauce. Like, that's a very popular one. And then this is the final dish. This was mine. I made, like, a lemon seitan chicken. And so the... this is a preserved lemon on the side here, and then the sauce was made with a rhubarb lemon marmalade that I made.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow. It looks delicious.
Yeah.
It turned out really good.
It looks
very
meaty. Mm-hmm. It super looks like spare ribs or something like that. Mm-hmm. It looks beautiful. Ugh, gorgeous.
It's funny, like, I have a few friends that really get into pickling, and they, like, go to Chilliwack and get, like, a big, like, shit ton of cucumbers and... like, make pickles out of it, and it's like, oh, I love doing all that stuff, you know? Like, but I never do. Just, I think we talked about this before, like, it seems like so much
canning
work.
Is something
I did
that
quite
I,
a lot of it this summer, actually.
I was following your tweets. I just, liking all of them. So, like, at least someone's doing something productive right now, putting up your cans. And I've seen so many of them blow up, or had them blow up in my house or something like that, that I just, like, I can't.
I for sure... made like a sauce or a soup or something and gave it to a friend. Is like, look, I made nice canning. It blew up in your kitchen.
Yeah.
Great. Oh no.
That was me that did that.
Okay. Too. Yeah. Shit. But yours was not the only time that's happened. That was the only time it's happened with soup, and it was funny because it was like a vegetable soup, and it was the same color as my kitchen because I had this like super 80s like 70s.
Oh yeah.
Avocado colored everything in my old like place near Central Park in Burnaby.
Oh yeah.
And it like. Burst. I couldn't tell what it was for like a day because it's like it had come down the cabinet, but it was the same color as the cabinet, so I like didn't notice it.
I'm so like, sorry.
And so hey, I mean, I'm sure it was delicious before it blew up. I don't think it was your fault, but I was just, I'm scared of canning because of like the possible explosion of shards aspect when you like take them out. Like if you drop it and it just blows up and you get like hot. Oh, God, a bean bun exploded on my chest the other day. I'm surprised I don't have invisible burns. But, yeah, I'm scared of it. It seems very scientific.
I was really scared of the, like, you know, bacterial element. Because, if you mess it up, you're going to die of botulism poisoning. But it's, like, it's
scary.
Pretty easy to not do that.
Yeah.
Like,
if
people
you,
have been canning for hundreds
about
of
it,
years.
It probably won't happen.
Yeah, like, basically, as long as your jars are clean and as long as you keep them in the little water thing for a long enough time, you're good to go.
Mm-hmm. You gotta listen for them all to go.
Yeah.
Which is, my mom started canning. My grandma always canned. My mom is very, like, she was corporate for the longest time, and she worked until she was probably, or until I was about 14 or 15, and then she sort of retired, and then she was bored, because my dad was still working at that time. She's like, well, what the fuck am I gonna do? I'm gonna consult part of the time, and then, like, anytime something bad would happen on the news, like, after September 11th, she started canning, like, full time. Because she was just like, I gotta watch this, but I gotta do something. Yeah. So she, like, had the 24-hour news on, and she's, like, making fucking corn salsas and jam and all these kinds of things. It was just, like, it was comfort canning, I think, that she was doing. So that's my association with it. So it doesn't seem like something that's relaxing. She's just like, I have to stay busy, because the world's falling apart.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But there is, that's what we got.
At least you've got preserves if there's doomsday.
Was it Tamara that we talked about that with? Like, the whole thing about homesteading?
I think so, yeah. Mm.
So your housemate, we talked about that. The whole, like, why are we getting so into this domesticity stuff? Is like, are we just waiting for the apocalypse so that we have some, like, usable skills after the fact? I don't know.
Yeah.
Who's to say?
Yeah. I really like pickled stuff. But you know what?
I really go for some pickles.
You know what I don't like, though? Even though, like, every time I eat it, I'm like, yeah, but normally I'm like, whatever, is, like, the red cabbage that everyone makes, like, their own, like, red sauerkraut, basically.
Right.
Mm. And it's, like, it gets put on, like, tacos and stuff
That's
all the
true,
time,
yeah.
And I'm just like, too much with the red cabbage, goddammit. Like, I like me some old-fashioned sauerkraut.
Yeah. I tend to prefer the, like,
yeah.
clear, soggy,
yeah,
really vinegary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. That sounds really good. Mm-hmm. I eat that on a veggie hot dog right now.
Yeah.
With some mustard. Oh, I just love sour things.
Yeah, me
like,
too.
I just love vinegar forever. It's probably not good for your teeth.
Eh,
that's
Hopefully
good for
it's
your
good
guts,
for everything
though.
Else.
Yeah.
Can I just, like, siphon it in or something like that? Can
siphon?
I want to put, like, caps on my teeth so I can...
Just put a mouth guard in and then...
my vinegar mouth guard.
Yeah.
So I can just have as much acid food as I want. The bottom half falls off of me. I just really like it. Like, I almost drink balsamic. Like it's a drink, kind of. Like, last night I made for my dinner because I was home alone. The thing that I always like to make if I want to treat myself well, but it's just for me, is I make, like, quinoa salad caprese. So I'll get, like, little mini bocconcinis and slice them up and some shallots and some, like, the nicest organic tomatoes I can find at whatever time of year it is. Thankfully, yeah. There's still some available. And basil. And just chop, 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 chop with some quinoa and salt and balsamic and olive oil and maybe spinach.
Yum.
So that's what I ate for dinner last night. Mm-hmm. And it was really good. You should have seen me with the balsamic just pouring it in. I'm like,
oh yeah.
Pouring it in, tossing it, eating it. Like, it doesn't burn yet. So yeah. It's not ready.
A little more.
more. Too much. Take it back. So it's like, yeah, that's what I always end up craving is my the most sort of like, it always feels like something is good for me if it's making me sweat. You know, and vinegar makes my head sweat. So I'm like, it's cleansing me.
I have the opposite. Whenever I eat any sugar, I start to sweat really bad, yeah. Especially around my nose.
Weird.
And so I don't really eat a lot of sweets.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It just, like, it tingles around my hairline. Like, after eating that delicious hobnob with chocolate on it, I'm like,
I liked it, but I wish I didn't.
I feel unsettled. Mm-hmm. I like a good digestive cookie with some sharp white cheddar on it and a cup of tea.
That's weird.
That's delicious.
Mm. Cheese on your digestive biscuit?
Yes.
What are you?
British.
Oh yeah. Fair enough. That's true. What can I say?
That's my Scottish grandma, cheddar cheese on digestives.
That's your grandmother?
Cheddar cheese. No, that's cream. Sorry, her influence, I guess. My grandmother.
I love you,
not.
Grandma, but I have to eat you now. I'm so sorry. We had such good times. You taught me to knit somehow.
How would a digestive cookie have been hitting me on the hand with a ruler like the last time
that
I
was
to
last podcast? I forgot to say, my grandmother also hit me with many implements. Usually a slipper.
Oh my god.
A slipper?
Well, it's pretty flappy. It's not too bad. You know, it was just like, stop that.
More
it didn't
of a
hurt.
Swat
it was much more of a swat than a hit. So it's okay. Right, guys?
I don't know.
It's fine. We don't all have weird issues. At all.
Just mostly.
Oh, man. So that's food. That's it. That's all there is.
Do you have like a go-to signature thing that you would bring to potlucks? I was thinking about this. Like,
depends on
for the longest time now, we've just been inviting people over to our house to like, oh, we caught a fish. Let's barbecue the fish. And then we'll
have a house.
Yeah, we have a house with a backyard and we'll make a big Caesar salad and roasted vegetables. And that's kind of the only thing, like sides for whatever. Mm-hmm. So I haven't really gone to a lot of potlucks and, like, made a dish, but normally I make, like, a ratatouille thing with chickpeas and eggplant, and it's all super tarragon. It helped me discover tarragon. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, like, my signature potluck kind of stew.
Okay.
Do you have, like, one that you, like, always make?
It sort of depends, like, the time of year. Like, if it's the summer, I have a really good vegan potato salad with, like, bits of pickles chopped up in it. Nice. As we were talking about, everybody fucking loves vinegar, so throw some pickles in there. But, yeah, in the winter, I usually do tend to go for, like, a soup or a stew, something that's really hearty or...
I usually, like, if it's in the summer, I like to bring, a spinach and strawberry salad, usually, because that's, if we're having a picnic, I'm usually like, oh, I'm going to eat a lot of chips, so I want something that has a vegetable in it.
Yeah.
So it's, and that's usually, like, a nice sunny thing, so I get that and, some crumbled goat cheese and, slivered almonds and poppy seeds and, a cider vinegar dressing.
Nice.
And some green onions. It's, like, a really nice...
Yeah. Ooh, what's my summer salad? I've started making watermelon salad.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to talk about that.
Yeah. Such a good combo.
Like, watermelon and then maybe spinach, maybe not, maybe strawberries and usually balsamic and some goat cheese or something like that.
Does every time we have a barbecue at our house, because we have a yard as well, and so every time we have a barbecue at our house, I've gotten to the point where I make this all the time, and people are like, oh, I hope Jen made that salad.
Nice.
And so, at the barbecue, I always make a watermelon salad with feta, mint, and cucumber, and...
Oh, cucumber, that's the thing.
Sounds so good.
Yeah, balsamic vinegar and a little bit of olive oil, and it always turns out really good. And it's just super refreshing to eat in the summer, so...
I would eat the pants off of that right now.
Yeah.
I'm not even that hungry, but I'm just, talking about all this food.
Sounds so good.
I also do, a German potato salad. Like, it's just a pretty traditional one, but, with less mayo. So it's maybe, a quarter of the mayo, usually, that's used in it, and a lot of extra, grainy mustard. Mm. And then I'll put in some chopped boiled eggs and a little bit of red onion and stuff, and just toss that up, and it's really... I like it. My mom does a warm potato salad that's really good. That it's pretty similar, similar recipe. And
I have
so
a warm
good.
One that I like to make with the grainy mustard and
mustard.
Yep,
mustard and me are total bros. Yo.
I went to this pub near the library. I believe it's called Library Square Pub.
It's called
strangely
Book
enough.
Good one.
Thank you. I'm tired.
But they. they had like a try two different kinds of sausage and pick two different kinds of mustard as like a board.
Ooh.
Yeah, and it came with kimchi on the side instead of sauerkraut.
Yeah.
Fancy.
And they had like a veggie sausage and a turkey sausage, so I tried those.
Perfect.
And like with a tarragon mustard that was like super hot.
I love
like,
tarragon mustard.
Yeah.
Tarragon. I think tarragon might be one of my favorite. Tarragon's probably one of my favorite herbs.
I didn't know about fucking tarragon until I got the Veganomicon cookbook, and they're like, put tarragon and white wine in this thing, and it's like, oh my god,
that's good stuff.
It's so
like
good.
Like a creamy tarragon sauce with salmon is such a wonderful. That's something that my ex-boyfriend Mike made for me one time. Like, I always forget that he could cook, because I'm not used to being in a situation where I live with someone who cooks for me.
Yeah,
and I forget that he cooked for me a few times, and I'm so sorry, Mike. You did cook, so I'll give you that.
You had that going for you,
and he made an amazing like seared salmon with like a creamy tarragon sauce. It was like the height of English cuisine, kind of. So it was so, and with like roasted potatoes, it was such a nice little. I wish more people would feed me.
Yeah. I'll cook something nice for you.
I like to cook for people as well. I should do have people over more, but we don't have chairs. Like, we have a couch, a huge couch, and we have a table, but the table is really just a book holder.
Yeah. Our kitchen table always has crap all over it. Like, we do use it, but it's generally covered in random stuff.
If I could bring myself to get rid of my Poang chair, I'd have so much more room, but it's the one place I can put it is, like, smack in the middle of absolutely everything, because there is seriously no room for it anywhere else in the house, so it's just kind of like, if I get rid of that, then I can have people come and sit at my house at a table and we can have a meal. But I'm like, put my chair.
Yeah.
It's so good.
We can, like, we have a round dinner table, and so we have enough chairs and enough space at that table so we can have a dinner party with six people seated comfortably at the table. But for Thanksgiving, the table is just for serving.
Right.
And we just, like, everybody just sits anywhere, or they stand. Like, it's not a big house, but we managed to get everybody in, and there's people eating on the floor, people sitting on the stairs to go up to the, you know, attic room eating their food. And,
totally.
Yeah, you just gotta own it. Like, the eating takes maybe, like, 20 minutes. It's more about the camaraderie of hanging out and drinking wine and, you know, just marveling at the amount of effort that goes into making the dinner. I mean, I assume that's what people do.
Yeah.
I'm always putting in the effort, so.
People are obviously marveling, I would say.
It's so nice to just be fed every night. It's hard for me to let other people feed me.
Yeah,
honestly,
yeah.
I like to control it.
Me
I like
too.
Because I'm not picky, but did you just go, agree or disagree?
Yeah. You've gotten better, but I remember when I would, like, make you a pasta sauce, and you're like, can you put my portion in the blender so it's not chunky?
I don't. I have textural problems.
Yeah,
it's
me
not
too.
A flavor problem. It's not, like, there's nothing that I won't eat. I just won't necessarily like it.
Sorry, did that make you mad?
No, not at all. But I really am not that picky of an eater so much as it just, like, I don't like chunks of cooked vegetables in things that... like on pasta specifically, because pasta has like a certain yield to it when you bite into it, and then the vegetables are unpredictable because it could be like slimy
crunchy.
It could be slimy crunchy, which is like a bad combo to me. So I don't like a slime crunch.
Okay,
it's like it doesn't. It's not good on either side of that. So it's really, but the flavor is always so good. So you have your little like immersion blender. You blended it up for me.
Having an immersion blender is such a game changer.
It is.
Especially for someone like me who loves making soup all the time, and so you know. I was taking it, like, out and putting it in the food processor, and, like, soup was going everywhere,
it's
and
so
it was horrible.
And
and it's, like, explodey, and, having the immersion blender just, like, made it so much easier.
I totally got rid of my food processor, and I remember people were like, oh my god, that's so stupid, why would you do that? I'm like, I used it twice.
Oh, I actually use it quite a bit.
I have an immersion blender now, and I use that for everything, so... And I just realized, like, that's where so many of my recipes are stored up in my brain, is for winter soup making. Like, I've got a really reliable, vegetarian but not vegan cheddar broccoli soup with white beans. And it's so proteiny because of all the extra white beans and stuff in there, and it just like blends up all smooth and nice cheese on top. Oh, it's the best. Or like, oh, I just can't wait to make soup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the best
thing.
It
was funny, like, early in September, and we had, like, a really, really rainy day, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna make minestrone today. And so I'm, like, in the kitchen making it, and my roommate is like, oh, yeah, it must be fall now, because Jen's making soup. So it's, like, the first sign.
Yeah. The squirrel's tails get fluffier, and Jen's in the kitchen making soup. So reliable.
I really like it a lot.
Me too.
I'm trying to think of, like, for my birthday this year, so instead of doing a big, like, baking thing, I wanted to learn how to make pasta for the first time. So I'm going to make pappardelle, like, and do the big, thick hand-cut
noodles. Yeah, I love
pappardelle.
It's so fun to eat.
And then what kind of sauce am I going to make? And I was thinking I would adapt the ratatouille that I like making, but make that into, like, the sauce.
Like a vegetable sauce. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, with lots and lots and lots and lots of roasted garlic and, like, crushed tomatoes and, like, everything roasted up, you know?
Roasted garlic is, like, the fastest route to fanciness, I think.
True.
Like, when you...
Or caramelized onions.
Yes.
Two of my absolute favorite elements of anything, honestly. Like, onions are a thing that I... Onions have become a love of my life kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas
well, so
when I was
necessary.
Younger, I used to hate it. Like, I was an extreme, which is why I was kind of like, I'm not a picky eater now, is because I'm
because
I'm
you used to be
truly
super
not,
because
I was so bad as a child. Like, and even then, still better than a lot of picky kids that you find out now, because my parents were like, no, about certain things. Like, they would bend on a few things, but then not on others. So it's like, I would eat raw cucumbers, carrots, mushrooms, for some reason. Like, button mushrooms I would eat raw, but I hated them cooked.
Oh.
And I would eat pasta without sauce with butter and Parmesan, and I hated potatoes as a child, except as French fries.
Of course.
So, but I hated rice as a child, which is so fucking weird, because it's like, and all these things, and if there was onions in something, I was just like, they have to be big enough for me to pick out. Like, it was totally a sensory control issue. But now, onions are my best friend forever, especially since I learned to make French onion soup. I make amazing French onion soup, and
I think
can't
that's
wait
one
to do that
I haven't tried in like quite a long time.
It's hard to do vegetarian
because
it really lends itself to a beef broth.
Yeah, so, I do have a good vegetarian beef bouillon replacement, which does the job.
Where do you get that?
They sell it in the jars
the better,
at Donald's.
Better than
better than bouillon.
Is it vegan?
Yeah, it is.
Really?
Yeah, because I was originally actually like my roommate for a French cook-off was going to make French onion soup, and she was like, oh, well, I'll try it with mushroom because that's a really, like, you know, hearty kind of broth.
Right.
And so she bought that, the jar of it, but it turns out that it wasn't vegan because it had like whey protein or something.
Weird.
In it. And so she went back and she was like, oh yeah, they have this fake beef broth. And so like, yeah, we got really into that. We've made like vegan pho with that. And
Nice.
Yeah.
It's very versatile, and the chicken one is also very useful.
Do you think there's any worthwhile vegan cheese at all?
If you make it yourself,
seems very involved.
yes, but I've heard from people, and usually, like in a lot of recipes where like you would use cheese or like a cheesy sauce or whatever, you can accomplish the same thing with like cashew cream or nutritional yeast. And so like when I see a vegan pizza and it's like smothered in like Daiya. I don't want that. It has a weird taste.
I've never
like,
tried that.
It's not good.
Okay.
Like, I mean, it does the job if you really need that, like, gooey cheesiness, but, like,
yeah,
most vegan people I know, they're like, oh, yeah, you know, it does in a pinch, but, like, it's not great.
Yeah.
The field roast chow, I've heard, is not bad. I haven't tried it myself, but... they have, like, a few different flavors, and you can use that. Like, it's good for sandwiches, and...
Right on.
Yeah.
I'll give that a shot. Yeah, I'm just, like, I love vegan stuff. I'd love to eat, like, about 80% vegan. That's where I'd like to be, but certainly not where I am, because convenience food wins out a lot unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, you're looking at me a little expectantly.
Oh, was I? I didn't even...
Or with love in your eyes, I can't tell.
Sure, I've just kind of retreated back into my own head a little bit.
Just thinking about all the things you'd like to cook?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah!
And also about, like, when you were saying you have your kitchen table can seat six, I'm like, we've got the big kitchen table with a leaf. I don't think I have enough chairs. I might use the podcast table for my Christmas birthday party.
You should.
And make this, like,
the
serving table.
Yeah.
That's
but then
a
it's
good
like...
plan.
Do I only want to invite 12 people to come and eat the pasta? No, because I've got like 20 friends that I want to feed.
Yeah.
20
friends. And like it was actually very good. Fancy. Like it's very freeing to just own the fact that you don't have enough seating for everybody.
Yeah.
And like I did the same at Christmas one year at my mom's because they have the big table and they always set up a smaller table. And you know, she would get like super stressed out, like, oh, if we put people at the secondary table, they're gonna feel like they've been like demoted or whatever, but we don't have enough room at this table and blah blah blah. And I was like, just don't, like, just put the plates out, have the tables there, people can sit at the table if they want, people can sit at the couch, like the eating only takes like 20 minutes, right? So people can hang out wherever they like, and then it takes the responsibility off you. So
And that, sorry, that was is that your mom who told you that, or
no,
you
know, I told my mom this
you told
because
your mom that.
Yeah,
like, my brain switched that around while listening, and I was like, I can't believe your mom told you that. The idea of my mom being like, relax, it's fine, that would never happen.
No, and like Christmas, you know, at our place was always like a big production too, and there'd be like little name cards and everything, and like now we're just like, well, fuck it, you know, just serve the food in the kitchen, eat wherever.
I shouldn't sell my mom out. She has to chill out a lot about those kind of things. Like, whoever wants to come can come. I'm not gonna fucking have expectations this time, but I'm still gonna do the things the way I want to do them, which is very, very methodical and organized and a lot of done in advance, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I feel like the dinner party is, like, kind of an interesting concept.
Yeah. I would like to do it more.
Yeah, honestly. Where it's, like, you have a nice table setting and centerpiece.
Yeah, no, it's true, and I love doing stuff. That, but it's just, like, especially in Vancouver, like, it's hard for people to have the space to do that. Mm-hmm, and, like, and then it gets to the point where you're like, oh, okay, well, I want to have, like, this many people over, but I only want have room for this many people. Mm-hmm. And so you end up having these, like, bigger parties where it's, like, less formal and, like, you know, less of a nice sit-down dinner and more just, like, people hanging out and eating some food. Yeah. And, yeah, it is nice to have every once in a while that sort of sit-down where you have a place setting.
You got a candle, maybe.
Yeah, and you have the food on the table instead of, like, people getting a bowl and going to the stove. And
There's a place for all of it. Yeah. I like
and I would say, like, the cook-off is probably, like, a combination of both. Totally. Because you do get the nice plating and, but again, like, depending on how many people
limited
are there.
And,
yeah, you're just sitting in somebody's living room usually or... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just trying to think about how many people could fit comfortably in my place, because a lot of the floor space is in the bedrooms, and those are not, like, really easy places to chill.
Don't
want to
have
and,
food
like,
in there.
Not particularly, no. Like, my apartment is 950 square feet, and it is, like, it's just stuffed. Like, everything that's in there kind of needs to be there. I've gotten rid of absolutely everything I can that doesn't belong there, except for that one chair that I'm obsessed with. Poang.
Hey, if it brings you joy.
It does. It's it even passes the KonMari test. Yes. It definitely brings me joy. Not that my house could look minimal if I tried. It definitely looks like we bought a lot of things secondhand off, like, the Star Trek Next Generation set. Mm-hmm. It's all very, like, angular and modular and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, that's IKEA for you, and also the place that we got our couch, which was not IKEA. That's not interesting. I don't know why I said that. Sometimes that happens at this point in the podcast. I just start saying things, but I like the idea of, like, the fancy, I like controlling the fancy dinner and, like, impressing people. Mm-hmm. And then, like, don't worry, I'm cleaning it up too. But now I'm thinking, like, I gotta just pull the stick out of my ass when it comes to, like, letting people help me clean.
Yeah. That's one great thing about Thanksgiving is because, like, well, I think last year, because we did so much cooking and, like, our roommate invited her parents as well. And so at the end of the night, like, Jeff and I finally are sitting down, you know, having some wine and, like, eating our food and just talking to people that we've been too busy to talk to. And so, like, my mom and Sarah's mom are in the kitchen, like, washing and drying all the dishes. And I'm like, oh,
that's great.
That's the ultimate role reversal. Yeah. I wash dishes. Even if I help at my mom's house, like, I'm always the person who washes the dishes, which is kind of like, hang on a second, I have a nephew who's 18.
Yeah, why isn't he washing 15, the dang dishes?
And another niece who's 12.
Yeah.
They never do the dishes. Mm-hmm. Never. It's always me. I'm like, what the fuck happened between these new children
Lazy
and this
kids.
Generation? Blah, blah, blah.
That was always a thing with going to Gabriola with Ed's family, is the, like, he would cook pretty much every breakfast. I cooked some lunches and some dinners, and, like, some of the mums would cook, and then we'd made, like, the 14 and 15-year-olds do the dishes every single time, and they're like, well, this sucks, like, it's like, well, you guys could cook something, I don't want to.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
you gotta do one or the other.
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta do something.
I mean,
that seems
fair. Collective eating is, like, it's so... I just keep thinking of examples, right? Because it's, like, so important in our lives. And I'm just thinking back to, like, we shared a cabin, or my family shared a cabin with another family. Like, we co-owned this place on Green Lake near 70 Mile House, if you know the area.
I do.
Like, up in the Caribou. And it was so cool, and I wish we still had it, because I would just, like, get all my friends to go up there, because it used to sleep, like, 15
Love
people. Like,
going
a huge
to a cabin by the lake.
Like, yeah. It was really incredible. It was super lakefront. It was absolutely gorgeous. It looked like a big old barn. Just one bathroom, which is sort of rough. But there was an outhouse, so... So it's all good.
Your favorite.
But I just... Yeah, I love it. Well, actually, I didn't mind that outhouse, because we could control how dirty it got, right?
Yeah.
Like, so it was just kind of like, get out of here, Mr. Spider, and then you're kind of fine. So, but there was, like, a really gauche... poster of a little boy peeing.
Oh my god.
up the toilet, like, in case you didn't know what you're supposed to do.
I wonder.
But he's standing in the toilet peeing out of it. I don't know why that just like came through like with crystal clarity in my memory. But we're talking about food
anyway.
And I can remember like we would have like the big collective, like all the adults would make food, but the kids always did the dishes. We always did, and we always groused about it, but we just did it.
Yeah.
Right? Like we would like navigate to get the best job, which for I think it's drying is the best if there's three of you, because there's someone washing, someone drying, someone putting away. Mm. Putting away is kind of fussy, washing is kind of gross sometimes, but drying, you're just kind of in the middle. You're just like, good enough, there you go.
Yep.
I don't know, but we would always, we didn't get to pick the music that would be on.
Which that is kind doesn't of seem cheap. Fair.
That's kind of like the parents would all be like, hey, get back to that, and drinking their wine or whatever around the table. And we'd have to be blasting Katie Lang's Shadowland.
Oh, well, that's fine.
Or Ingenue.
Well, now it is.
Well, yeah, at the time I was like, this is dumb. She looks like a boy. And now I'm like, this is great. She looks like a boy. So it's like, well, my parents had a hand in turning me into what I am today by forcing me to listen to Katie Lang. It always comes down to that.
And that's another thing that happens at the cook-offs is, like, just the community space where, like, especially people who come but haven't made a dish, like, that's totally allowed and welcomed, but those people are usually encouraged to bring a bottle of wine for everybody to share.
Yeah,
and, generally, like, depending on how many dishes there are, everybody takes a turn just, like, quickly washing the plates so that we're not using, like, 8,000 dishes. And, that people can reuse the same ones for plating. And everybody just keeps their fork, so we don't wash the forks 500 times as well. So
Okay, that makes sense. So do people, like, finish the cook? Do they start the cooking at their houses, or do they all done at yours?
Usually you do as much as you can before you come. And so you just do, like, your basic, like, sautéing or, like, reheating. Mm-hmm. Or if you're doing deep frying, you can do that there.
Right.
But, yeah, like, I think we've only had a couple where people have done, like, the majority of their cooking at the host house.
Oh, so the house does change every time?
Yes. Yeah. Otherwise, it would be putting a lot of, like, weight on one person. So, yeah, we usually rotate.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's really
fun.
Sounds
like a really wonderful tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if anyone listening to this is interested in attending, we have a Facebook group that you can search for.
The vegan, like, sign up.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, it's a closed group, so you have to have your request approved. But people who know us are definitely welcome to come.
What's the group?
I believe it's called The Vegan Cook-Offs. But you should be able to find
it
fairly.
If you live here, it'll come up, probably.
It'll be a Vancouver group. And we also have a blog, vegancookoff.blogspot.ca.
Wow.
It's very behind because I'm the one who maintains it, and I...
That's such a project. This is such a thing.
Yeah, right? No, it really is, because, like, there's just so much that we love about it, and, like, we've gotten really into documenting it, and so we just have a little bit of a record, you know, with photos and, like, who was the winner and, like, what the day was like when we were there. So, so it's about a year behind right now, but there are lots of things for people to look at and feel inspired by.
So cool.
Yeah.
That's so funny. It's just really funny to keep seeing all of the little overlaps in our community lives, because, like, I associate Mallory with you very much. She's just sort of like a minor Vancouver celebrity in some
a little
ways.
Bit, yeah.
Yeah, like, she's
I just feel
like
she's a crux of a lot of people's, like, social circles, where she's the connector to another group
of
people.
Yeah, and I also very much feel that way about Chris, too, because you have, like, a lot of friends and acquaintances and, like, not a ton of burned bridges, so it's kind of like, oh, good friend over here, good friend over here, like, you know who does what, that kind of thing. It's great to be, like, a linchpin in sort of like a community spider web or whatever you want to call it. I think that's a really cool thing. And I always feel like I'm a little bit, like, on the outside, just because, like, I kind of came in as your friend to a lot of these kinds of spaces. So it's kind of neat just to see, like, where those points of connection are. So,
yeah, and I feel like Vancouver is really like that, too, where you see somebody that you know, and then you, like, you know, have them on Facebook, and you see their friends list, and you're like, oh, they know that person.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
I wonder how they met.
And, absolutely. And I literally have no idea how I know you. Like,
I actually do remember.
Okay.
It was on OkCupid we started talking.
Okay, this
after,
was like a long time ago.
Yes, quite a long time ago. Probably around, like, 2007 or 2008.
Yeah, probably.
We had been chatting back and forth on OkCupid for a long time, and, like, we were really getting along, and it came out that we were both going to the same Gogo Bordello show, and we ended up meeting up at
Gogo
Bordello show, and it was a very, like, drunken, celebratory, joyous time. We totally, like, made out at the show and had a blast. Yeah, it happened.
Oh my god, because that was such...
And then we didn't see each other for, like, several years.
Show is a blank spot in my memory.
Right.
And it's, like,
I think
it's
that was also the show,
like,
where my roommate vomited on the table.
Like, I feel almost ashamed about that show, because I had such a good time, and I remember, like, coming home and I was like, that was great. And everybody's like, do you know how many people you made out with last night? I was like, oh,
like,
no.
At least three.
It was at least three. And it was kind of like, Oh, I gotta get my handle on that. That was like the that was like the most blackout drunk I've ever been in my life.
Well, I'm sorry for taking advantage of your state.
Not at all. I'm just like, there was only one of the three that was like a bad choice. Well, I mean, two of the three were a bad choice. I mean, probably the best, definitely the best choice of the three in retrospect. But I was like, oh my God, that was my last like blackout tramp experience.
Yeah, so I'm gonna guess this was probably like 2008.
It was 2007 because was like right the same weekend that I like joined the Dreadnoughts.
Ah.
So that was 9 years ago. That's in the way back machine.
Wow,
holy shit.
That's so cute.
That's so funny. Like, well, all right, you sure showed me that you have a better memory than I do.
I do have a really like intricate memory for strange details. Like, that is, you know, great. If someone's like, oh, what were you doing yesterday? I'm like, I don't know. But like if someone says, hey, do you remember when we went to such and such? I'm like, oh yeah, of course. Like, you were wearing this shirt and we ate like tacos and I don't know, just bizarre stuff.
Mine's kind of like that too. I think that's why I love this. Just kind of brings me back to something that we were going to talk about off the top, which was just you recommended a book to me that I fucking loved, which was the Carlos Ruiz Zafón, what was it called? Shadow of the Wind,
yeah.
And then it's a trilogy and I ended up reading the whole thing. And what I loved about it was that it was so, it's tied up in those kinds of details, like total devils in the details kind of story. Like I've talked on the podcast before when we did our book club, how I love Ken Follett, even though I called him Dadlet. Like, it's very much like what a dad would read, because it's like a big, thick book about like building a church or something. That's like all the details buttresses and things and how those things all connect together. And so that was very much like socially, that's kind of what this book is like.
Yeah.
It's like you have this relationship here, you have this relationship, and now there's three books, and all of them, there's like a connecting thread between the whole thing, and it gets all kind of not even quite tied up at the end, but it's just like a really...
I loved the intricacy of that book, and it's been translated from Spanish, and the translation was just really, really well done.
Yeah.
Because I've definitely read books that have been translated from other languages, and you're like, this didn't really work,
stilted.
Did it?
Yeah. It was Lucia Graves, or Graves, I think is the name of the translator, and she did an amazing job.
Yeah, it was
with all three
wonderful.
Like, just luscious English, like, so I can only imagine what it's like to read it in like native Spanish. Not that I would ever know what that's like. I could spend 30 years learning Spanish and
be like,
figure it out, but I just assume it's real good. So that's a good one. Like, if anybody else, any of you guys reading good books right now that you want
to
throw out?
I found in one of those, like, community book houses, Sailing to Sarantium, and it's Guy Gavriel Kay, and it's two books, The Serentine Mosaic, and at first it's like, it's a fantasy book, but it's really, like, the Byzantine Empire and the Roman Empire and all that kind of stuff. And so, at first, it's kind of like, there's so many characters with a lot of different names that are all very similar. Flavius and Delanian and, like, whatever. But then, like, the prologue for the book is so long, but then when you finally get into the story, it's this mosaicist that, like, goes on a journey and, like, goes to, like, decorate a church, you know? And it's like, it's fucking cool. So I'm reading the second one now.
I'll have to check that out, I think. I'm just plowing through.
It's big into, like, their religion.
Okay.
So it's, like, Jad and his son Heladikos, who brought fire to the people. So, like, it's kind of, it's very, like, based on Christianity and, like, the rise and fall of the Roman Empire and Byzantium and all of that kind of stuff, but with different, slightly similar names, you know? And then lots about chariot racing, which is pretty cool.
Gotta love a chariot. Yeah, I read a book about Empress Theodora from I can't remember, it was one of our, like, historical lady authors.
Dear Theodora.
Oh my God.
Say to you.
Oh my God, Chris. Theodora, not Theodosia, you nerd. And it's very much like, oh, Emperor Justinian and, like, the actress prostitutes of the 5th century in the Byzantine Empire. And it's just really... like, because I don't know anything about Byzantium. It's all, like, I know about Greece and I know about Rome, and it's very similar, but it's,
I would like the name of this book, please, because that's going to dovetail nicely with what I just finished
reading. I will look it up. It was, it does not have you know what, you guys, why don't you talk about a book and I'll look this up.
Well, I'm just reading, like, basic mysteries right now, but the last book I read that I was like, wow, this is really, like, incredible.
Nice.
I read 11/22/63 by Stephen King.
Oh, Ed finished that. We've got that kicking around somewhere.
Yeah, like, it's just a super interesting book.
Because it's, like, Kennedy assassination?
Yeah, so basically this guy...
it's a time travel
Yeah,
book,
this
it?
Guy discovers, like, a time pocket in this diner, and, like, the guy who owns the diner figures it out, and he's, like... dying or something, and so he asked this guy, and he's like discovered all of these strange things that you can go and you can change things in the past, but like the past is really resistant to change, but you can do it. And he's like, I think, you know, if we can just stop the Kennedy assassination, it would change the whole timeline for the better. And so he like wants to send this guy back in time. Yeah, and so it's just about his journey of like, because you can only go to this one specific point in time, and so he has to like live in the past for like 4 years or something while he's waiting for the you know, Kennedy assassination day to come up, and he's like planning for this. And yeah, wow. It's just a really interesting and yeah, again, huh, super intricate book.
He probably loses it as he's like trying to change history and yeah, stuff. Like, oh, I love time travel stories.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Yeah, it's really interesting. Yeah, it was a super good book.
I love it. Well, that's why I like that stupid fucking Outlander, right? It's because like super capable lady ends up back in time like, ooh, I am like almost a witch because I can do all these healing things. Like, I love it when people take their future knowledge back and they're like, I can't give away what I'm capable of, but I have to but I have to do something, damn it.
Yeah.
So I love that. That's one of my favorite genres, the I have to do something, damn it, historical novel.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. So the name of the book, the author is Stephanie Thornton, and she's like a another John Caligridis type writer. Nice. Who does like a specific sort of time period. And then actually she's even more out there because the book is called Secret History. It's a okay. novel of Empress Theodora. And she also did a book about the Khatuns of Mongolia. So, like, all of the queens, the warrior queens surrounding.
Oh, I think you mentioned this, yeah.
Yeah, it was excellent. Great. It was so good.
Thanks. I totally binge read authors.
Capability pornography, basically.
I'm just finishing the last G.N. Caligridis book. and then you can
move on to something else.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Well, guys, this was a really fun one, mm-hmm. I have to say.
I'm hungry, and now yeah. I have a bunch of, like, recipe inspiration.
I actually have to go home and start, like, making a very intricate grocery list for Thanksgiving, and I have to make mushroom stock and also dinner. So I'm like, ooh, it's getting to be 3 o'clock. I gotta get to my kitchen.
Gotta get my apron on and start homesteading. Well, thanks for being our guest, Jen.
Yeah.
This
oh, thank
really
you
fun,
so much.
Super enjoyable, and you'll probably see us at a future cook-off.
Definitely,
we'll
I hope so.
Bring our judging hats and
yeah.
participate in hands, I guess.
Participate in hands.
It's a thing now, I said.
Yeah,
it. Get over it.